Hey friends, welcome to episode 159 of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. Something a little different about this week's show. I have two guests. Unfortunately, we couldn't match schedules and get them on at the same time, but they are bitter rivals, and I'm afraid they would have talked over each other the entire time anyway. It is Red Daniels and Chris Hargis. They are the two men who are participating in the very first Buried Alive match for Stride Pro Wrestling. It is happening this Saturday night, December 9th, at the Illinois Star Center Mall in Marion, Illinois. Tickets just $10 for adults, $5 for kids. This is going to be, without a doubt, the biggest event Stride Pro Wrestling has ever put on. Lots of great matches as well. Heath Hatton takes on Dexter Roswell. The Legacy Championship is on the line as Tony Flood defends against Joey O'Reilly. It is Beard versus Mask. El Magnifico takes on Brian Richards of the DR Party. We're going to also see Axe Allward get his hands on his former tag team partner, Scott Phoenix. Scott Phoenix, of course, screwing over Axe Allward in the last month at our November show. It's going to be a big night. There are going to be plenty of great matches, lots of great activity happening, so you want to come on out to the Illinois Star Center Mall, Marion, Illinois. Red Daniels, Chris Hargis, this rivalry has reached a point where now, they've brought, Red Daniels brought Chris's girlfriend into this situation, and, tried to assault her, and Chris Hargis luckily sprang into action and saved his girlfriend. They talk about that. Each man talks about that during the interview. Also, the Stride Pro Wrestling heavyweight champion Roger Mathis will be on hand signing the contract with Jay Spade in the middle of the ring. So that's going to be one too, because on December 16th we are back, and that is a last man standing match as Jay Spade takes on Roger Mathis for the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. Lots of other big matches coming on December 16th. We have a rundown of it on the Stride Pro Wrestling Facebook page. I'll also have it up and talk more about it on next week's show. Of course, my 1-2-3 Cents, your place to head for any news involving Stride Pro Wrestling or indie wrestling around the region. I know Cape Championship Wrestling wrapped up their season on November 25th, and they will be back after the first of the year. Looking forward to seeing what they have to offer in 2018. Also, if you listened to last week's show, you know that my buddy Tom Harness and I are doing an ugly Christmas suit fundraiser to raise money for a group here in Southern Illinois, but it really impacts the entire state. It's called Children's Home and Aid, and what I am going to do now is to solicit some new donations. I have two brand new in-the-box Christmas ornaments. Now, these are no ordinary Christmas ornaments. It is a Stone Cold Steve Austin and a Rock Christmas ornament, and it is official licensed product of WWE. These are WWE products. They are both, as I said, mint in the box, and they're really cool looking. So value on them, $30. But if you make a $25 donation, you will be entered to win these ornaments. I'm keeping them together. It's a great rivalry. We're going to keep them together so you can have a rivalry going on your Christmas tree, assuming that you are allowed to have such items in your home and on your Christmas tree at Christmas time. I remember years ago, I had a glass ball Stone Cold Steve Austin ornament, and my wife knocked it off the tree accidentally, or so she says, but I do believe her. But so I'm going to give I'm going to put everybody's name who has donated $25 or more. And if you donate more than $25, for every $25 you donate, you're going to be entered to win that many times. So I have had some people who have donated $50. So he will get two entries into this contest. So all you have to do is go to uglychristmassuitguy.com. I would like you to pick Team Kevin and donate under my name, but if you just donate, I will throw your name into that as well. I'm going to do that through December 12th. And I'm going to pick a winner and announce it and put it on the My 1-2-3 Cents Facebook page. But again, donate $25 to uglychristmassuitguy.com, Team Kevin, and you will be entered to win both of these Christmas ornaments, Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock. Thank you so much. Our goal is $7,500, and I kind of made it that. And Tom is, doubting that we're going to make it. So I want to make it. So please, if you have it in your heart, if you have an extra few bucks, go ahead and throw it our way, and it is going to a great cause, I can promise you that. Not a whole lot of else to talk about, at least from my perspective, because honestly, with this Ugly Christmas Suit Guy fundraiser, we are out and about. I have not had time. I usually come home from work and watch Raw and SmackDown. Haven't had time to do that. I've seen some of the news and notes of what's going on. Just going to kind of keep up with wrestling news that way for the next couple of weeks. I'm just taking a little time here to record this podcast and, of course, continue to get the word out about Stride Pro Wrestling. So be sure to stay tuned. We're going to hear from Red Daniels first, and then, of course, Chris Hargis. He ends the interview with us because, you know, when I'm a ring announcer, I always introduce the bad guy first, so it only makes sense to have the bad guy up first here as Red Daniels kind of explains his side of things and talks about this match, because this is going to definitely be, both men agree on one thing, that this is going to be the biggest match of either man's career. Red Daniels, about 18 months in the business. Chris Hargis, 16 years. So, but as we talk, it's not about the wrestling. It is a fight. This is going to be a fight for each man's life and pride and ego. There's so much on the line with Buried Alive. Again, coming up Saturday night, December 9th, we'll hear from Red and Chris right after this.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everyone, as promised, my guest this week is Red Daniels of Stride Pro Wrestling. I am actually at the Stride Pro Wrestling facility in the Illinois Star Center Mall in Marion, and this will be the site of the first ever Buried Alive match that Stride has had. And Red, we were looking or talking earlier. I don't know that any other indie company has done a Buried Alive match. Do you know of any?
Not off the top of my head, no. Not that I've ever seen. I've never heard of it. I feel like it's kind of revolutionary for Stride to try to bring this match to the people.
Absolutely. I mean, it has been kind of talked up as the biggest night for Stride Pro Wrestling. And I have to agree with that that assessment. Now, fans who are listening and know Red Daniels, Red's been on the show before. We talked a lot about his history and his training and whatnot. He's only been wrestling less than 2 years. And right around the 18-month mark, actually, and he has since won the Stride Pro Wrestling Tag Team Championship with Jake Capone. They were part of the Midwest Mafia. I always butcher Midwest Mafia. I don't know why. But anyway, go back into the archives. Check out the other episode with Red to learn more about his history. But as a – and I don't want to use the term rookie, but as someone who still is, you know, in that phase of – of learning, but also giving back and teaching, and we'll talk about that too if you don't care. Do you have any worries or concerns about getting into this kind of match? Because we've seen in the WWE the five Buried Alive matches before, and they've changed men's lives and careers.
Well, I'm kind of hoping that it changes my career and that it takes me to the next echelon. And once I bury Chris Hargis, I can put that chapter of my wrestling career behind me and I can move on to bigger and better things. Like I said, in August, I was out here because I feel like I should be the champion. I feel like I deserve, you know, the right to fight with the best. Sick of cupcakes, sick of Sam Hunter throwing whatever he wants at me. Like, I'm a joke. I'm important. So hopefully after I come out and show all these people that I'm the man, I'm going to bury Chris Hargis, you'll never see him again, then hopefully that I can, you know, move on to bigger and better things in my wrestling career.
What is your beef with Chris Hargis? Because you two had a match, things were going fine, and I don't care what you say, the fan interaction was a little bit propagated by you yourself, but yet Hargis was the one who kind of paid the piper for that.
Yeah, if you want to spread fake news, spread fake news.
Oh, but, come on, Red.
But it started, if you remember correctly, it started back in August when I decided that the lone soldier, the lone gunman, whatever his name was, decided that he thought he could be a wrestler, and I said, none of that. And Hargis wanted to get in my business, so I feel like I should be able to, you know, bring my own punishment to anybody who wants to step in this ring. And I was going to end a young man's career, and Hargis decided to get in my way. And that was just the first mistake that he made.
But why? Okay, so Hargis obviously standing up for this kid, and I will use the word kid because, you know, first match, and you're trying to break his neck with a chair. I mean, was that really called for?
You know, you want to play with the big boys, you're going to get, you know. It's what happens. I feel it was 100% appropriate, and I feel it's definitely not Hargis's place to tell me what to do, and I don't take disrespect lightly.
Well, and, you know, we'll go to the disrespect thing because you brought it up. I know that there was an issue, obviously, the night we talked about when Chris got suspended for hitting the fan, who we later learned is, in fact, your girlfriend. But then when Chris came back, you kind of took things to the next level when you drug his girlfriend from the merchandise table and brought her into the ring and really kind of verbally assaulted her.
You know, Hargis, he's lucky he got suspended for attacking my girlfriend so viciously. But, you know, I felt that I need to get my point across and that things were just going a little bit too slowly and that I needed to show Hargis that I mean business. I needed to show these fans that I mean business. I needed to show them that I'm a bad man. I'm a mean person. I don't care about anybody in this crowd. I have no feelings. I'm here to hurt people. I'm here to be the best. And if I have to take Hargis's girlfriend out, Hargis's mother out, Hargis's sister out, I don't care. I'm here.
Tough talk. Hargis is not here right now. We'll set the record straight for that. But he has challenged you to this this match that is, you know, for fans, and I don't know anyone who would be listening to this who don't understand the rules, but it's pretty simple. There is a buried alive area here at the Stride arena. Basically, the goal is to get your opponent into the grave and then cover them with dirt. I'm looking at a tombstone right now. It's got your name on it. It's got Chris Hargis's name on it. That's got to be kind of a surreal experience and kind of a bit eerie, is it not?
It 100% is because, you know, I could be looking at my own fate. I could be looking at the end of Red Daniels. And you see the name on the gravestone, and I'm probably going to bring my own paint the ninth to mark my name out because it's not my grave. It's Hargis's grave. He's going to find out. He's going to feel the dirt flush over his face, fill his lungs, and he's going to be gone.
How does one prepare for a match like this? Because as we talked about, this has only been done five times on television that we know of. And as far as we know, it never in any other setting, independent scene, you know, TNA, none of the other companies have done anything like this. So how do you prepare for such a unique and rare match?
Basically, I plan on it being not a match. I plan on it being basically a street fight. I plan on coming out here, and I plan on bringing anything and everything, the kitchen sink, chairs, like I like to use. You know, maybe I'll push a shopping cart full of weapons out. I don't know. But at the end of the day, I'm not fighting fair. I'm fighting to make sure that I'm not the one who gets buried. I'm fighting for my life, and I'm fighting to end Chris Hargis.
You are literally fighting for your life. So is Chris, because as you mentioned, there are no rules other than to dump your opponent into that hole. And it's going to be a very interesting night, to say the least. A lot of other big matches that have been announced, and we have all those up on the Stride Pro Wrestling Facebook page as well, over at My123Cents. But Red, you know, let's just play you know, future here. Suppose you do make it past Chris Hargis, and even if you were to beat him in a regular match, if I am Sam Hunter, the general manager, that would automatically put you in line for a title shot, in my opinion. Is that the end game here? I mean, you said you want to hurt people. You want to make a name for yourself, but you also want championship gold again. Obviously, that one run as tag team champion, impressive, but you want more, and you want that singles glory.
Well, you know, it's mostly it's about the respect. I want to come out here. I want my music to play. I want the people in this crowd to know that I am the man. And to be the man, you got to have the belt. The number one guy is the champ. So as far as I'm concerned, once I get through Hargis, that'll be the next goal. Be the champion. Show all these people that, you know, they can boo me, they can hate me, but it doesn't matter because I'm the man. I'm the best, and they will respect me. I don't care if you hate my guts. At the end of the day, you're going to go out. You know what? As much as I hate that guy, he's a killer. He's a beast. He's out here beating people. He'll do whatever it takes.
Well, you are the first graduate of the Stride Pro Wrestling School. I know that you occasionally do help here as well, but you tell me a little bit about the experience of going through the school. And I don't want to show favorites or pick a favorite here, but I would say so far you have a pretty good track record as far as graduates go. Scott Phoenix could be argued too. He is still a co-holder of the Stride Pro Wrestling Tag Team Championships, along with Dexter Roswell, who came through as well. But you have really been in some pretty high profile matches. You've been in that championship match, that fatal four way. You've teamed with Roger Mathis, who is the champion. You've gone toe to toe with Heath Hatton, Jay Spade, who is the number one contender. So you've had a lot of big matches in Stride. I'm assuming this Buried Alive match, though, will top them all for you.
It definitely will top them all. It's in my opinion, the biggest match in Stride Pro Wrestling history, probably right behind the TLC match between Heath Hatton and Roger Mathis himself. But you say my experiences through the school, I learned a lot through this school. The best thing about this school is it set me up with relationships that helped me become the wrestler I am. Guys like Roger Mathis, who taught me things. Guys like Jake Capone, who took me under their wing and helped me get to where I am. And I'm here now because of some of the best people to wrestle at Stride Pro Wrestling. I'm here because they have propped me up. They have taken me to where I am. They've taught me things.
Well, and you bring up the two names, Roger Mathis and Jake Capone. Obviously, the three of you made up the Midwest Mafia. Jake moved away after you guys lost the tag team championships. He unexpectedly showed up at the November show to face you. You had an open challenge, and Jake answered that. Was it surreal? Were you surprised to see your mentor come out or one of your mentors come out? And obviously the two of you also pretty comparable in the size department, but he obviously had a little bit more experience on you. But at the end of the night, you were the one with your hand raised.
It was definitely surreal. I had no idea that Jake was even in the locker room. And seeing Jake come out was a big surprise. It's, kind of hurtful. But at the same time, we didn't leave on the best terms. He walked out. He walked out of this tag team. He walked out of this company. He walked out on these fans. So, it was great to get my hands on him again because I felt like we were on a roll. We were ready to do something big. We were ready to change the game. We were ready to be the Mafia. We were already the champions. We had things going, and he walked out.
So you have had, as we mentioned, obviously Jake was a tag team partner of yours. You teamed with Roger, but you to me at least as an observer, you seem to thrive as a singles wrestler. Is that a fair statement?
It's definitely fair. Yeah, I'd say that tag team wrestling is a completely different beast. It's a completely different art, and it's great to have those kind of things under your belt. But when it comes down to it, being a singles wrestler helps me focus my brain, helps me focus my mind on one target, one person. It helps me think. I don't have to worry about any outside forces, and it's a lot easier to be a singles wrestler because you have one target, and that's win the match, hurt the person.
And we're talking about that target, and obviously the big target now is Roger Mathis. He is the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. He, of course, will be facing Jay Spade on December 16th. Contract signing for that is happening on December 9th right here at the Illinois Star Center Mall. You guys have a relationship. You have been tag team partners. You've also been in the ring against each other, though, in that fatal four-way. I would assume, from your perspective, wrestling someone like Jay Spade, who have you been in there against before, you are roughly twice his size, would much rather see him as champ and go after him than to face Roger Mathis, who is, as JR would say, tougher than a $2 steak.
Well, for sure, I would much rather face Jay Spade. I have a lot of respect for Roger. I know what kind of man he is. I know that it would be a much tougher fight. So, this being the intelligent man that I am, I would much rather face Jay Spade, a man that I have beat before in the past. I hold pinfall victories over. I would much rather see that man in the ring because, we have a history, and I know that I can beat Jay. And I know that, at the end of the day, size, I'm much bigger than him. I'm much stronger than him. It would be a much easier fight.
So we're talking into the future here as if we had a crystal ball, but really your fate rests December 9th with Chris Hargis.
And let's get back to what's important.
Chris Hargis. The funny thing, and not funny so much, but I have talked to casual wrestling fans who have told me, oh yeah, I watched it when, Jake the Snake and Junkyard Dog and, Tito Santana were the big guys around. And then I mentioned, well, you know, I work for a company called Stride Pro Wrestling, and on December 9th, we're having a Buried Alive match, and their eyes get about as big around as saucers. And this is a true story. Everyone I have talked about who are casual wrestling fans, and even some who aren't even wrestling fans, have expressed an interest in this because it is going to be such a unique spectacle. Nothing like this has happened in Southern Illinois, for sure. And as we mentioned, probably not really anywhere else on the indie scene. So do you feel any kind of pressure in terms of – I think we're going to have a pretty big crowd. And obviously the fans here are that are loyal and come every month are wonderful fans. But you're going to have, you know, you're not going to have many people on your side, I don't think. And does that worry you at all and the size of the crowd, the potential crowd that night?
I feed off the hate. I want that. I want these people not to like me. I feed off of it. When it comes down to it, I hope this entire building is full of people chanting for Chris Hargis. So when I shut him up and when I bury him, they get to go home crying and they get to think about how Red Daniels is the man who ended, you know, their hero, the man that they want to see. I want these people to hate me. I don't want them to cheer. When I hear somebody cheer my name, it makes me angry because who's that person to cheer for me? They're trying to take my success. They're trying to take my glory by cheering for and acting like, oh, I love Red Daniels. He's the best. But I guarantee there's been shows where I've done things that they weren't happy about, and they turned their back on me many times.
Well, what changed? Because I can remember a contingency, a local crowd here that wore the Red Daniel shirts. They had the Red Daniel signs, and you were a fan favorite, probably, honestly, right behind Heath Hatton in terms of popularity here, and then something changed. What is that?
You know, what changes is when you come out here and the people cheer for you. And you see the people and they love you, like you said, fan favorite. But at the end of the day, it's not helping you get anywhere. I was losing. I wasn't going anywhere. Yeah, I had all these people's love and cheers, and when they hear my music, see my name, they'd be happy, but it got me nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, you need to do what gets you higher up on the ladder. You gotta, you know, value added decisions. And it may have been something that these people didn't want to see, but I had to turn my back on these fans because it's what got me to where I am.
And you are going to be once again in the main event. We've talked about it a couple of times. You were on that big fatal four-way for the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Championship, but now it's a one-on-one affair. You and Chris Hargis, and it sounds like you are not taking this lightly at all. You are ready. You are prepared. This ominous. Structure or area that we are recording this show from. We are on scene, on location, at the site of Buried Alive, again happening on December 9th. Any final words, any final thoughts as you prepare for, and I don't want to be sensationalistic with this by any means, but realistically, this could be Red Daniels' last match.
You're 100% right. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who are going to come just to hope to see that it's my last match. But what they will see is they'll see tables, they'll see ladders, they'll see chairs, they'll see shopping carts, they'll see trash cans, they'll see baking sheets, they'll see anything. They'll see anything in the world, anything you can imagine, it will show up in this match because this is not a wrestling match. This is two men who don't like each other at all. I don't like Chris Hargis one bit. I don't want to see his face. It makes me angry knowing that I have to walk out to this ring just to put him in that grave, just to end him, just to get rid of him. So if you want to come out and you want to see something that you will never see again, something that is truly revolutionary in the world of professional wrestling on the independent scene and in the entire world, you want to see a match that you're going to talk about for a long time, match that you'll say, remember when Red Daniels buried Chris Hargis? You want to come out December 9th because it's going to be something truly to witness in person.
Absolutely. Once again, fans, it is happening Saturday night, December 9th. Follow us on Facebook, the Stride Pro Wrestling page. You can go to strideprowrestling.com. That'll take you right to our Facebook and other social media. Red, any social media plugs you want to get out there tonight too?
You can always go to the Facebook page. Red Daniels on Twitter at The Red Daniels. That's about all I got.
Okay, everyone, as I mentioned, I was going to give Chris Hargis an opportunity to speak as well. Chris Hargis is in the St. Louis area, of course, as we've had him on the show before as well. Chris, welcome to My 1-2-3 Cents. Welcome back to My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. How are you?
Well, it's always a pleasure to be on your show. Thanks for having me again.
Absolutely. And, you know, Red and I were talking about the incident, and all this kind of started with him basically bullying one of the trainees in stride, tried to break the young man's neck with a chair, and if not for you, we don't know what may have happened. You came in and kind of interjected that night, and that kind of set a chain reaction into motion. Why did you take that opportunity to kind of step up and help this this young stride upstart defend himself, basically?
You know, Red was just being a big bully, and then I can't stand a bully, number one. You know, picking on a defenseless person, I just felt I had to come do something.
Yeah, and then, you know, there was the match where the two of you wrestled, and, you know, and I called him out on this. I think it was pretty obvious that he pulled his girlfriend, who was a fan in attendance at that night, and some did not realize that was his girlfriend, but you actually hit her, and it was clear by your reaction that that was not the intention, although you ended up paying the price for that and getting suspended. What were your thoughts when General Manager Sam Hunter, who, you know, enforced the zero tolerance policy on touching a fan and was forced to suspend you, what did you think of that?
I mean, I thought it was bullcrap because he's the one that pulled her in the way. If he wouldn't have touched the fan who happened to be his girlfriend, the incident wouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, in my eyes, he should have been suspended, not me.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. No.
Yeah, I think a lot of people share that sentiment as well. And then, of course, there was the incident where, you know, he says it was is to get under your skin and get back at you. He brought your girlfriend into things as she was working your merchandise table at a recent show. And I don't know that I've ever seen a reaction from you like that. I mean, you obviously were fired up and doing what you needed to do to protect your girlfriend.
And that's where he made it personal. He took an issue between me and him and made it personal. That's why on December 9th, Buried Alive, you're not going to see no headlocks, no drop toe holds, or any of that stuff. You're just going to see fist and feet in his face.
And that's what he has basically said as well, that this is going to be a fight. And I, you know, we talked about the fact that, as far as we know, this has not been done. We know it certainly hasn't been done in Southern Illinois. And there have only been 5 Buried Alive matches in WWE that, you know, nationwide fans would know about. But why did you decide to challenge him to this kind of match? I mean, obviously things are very personal, and this is a very heated rivalry between the two of you.
At that point, that was after he pulled her in the ring, and, you know, I came after him, and that's just, I figured as I was there talking and looking at him, we needed something to end it. And I couldn't think of a better way to end it but to bury him.
Yeah, and that is a perfect way to describe it, because this will, rivalry will come to an end, because we've seen it before, the impact that these Buried Alive matches have on a wrestler. Lives have been changed, careers have been changed, and do you have any kind of, and you sound very confident here, do you have any kind of reservation or concern for your own safety in this? But you're looking at this as a street fight, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I guess any match you go into, there's always that concern, you know, you can get hurt. That's any match. And it's just heightened with something like this, but at this point, I don't see any other way but to do this.
And you mentioned it earlier too, there's not going to be any, you know, headlocks or arm drags or anything like that. It's going to be an all-out brawl, fist and feet in Red's face, or at least you're hoping for that. Now, Red is slightly bigger than you, but I have no doubt that you are just as strong, if not stronger than him. And you know, have you done anything different to prepare for this kind of matchup? Because I'm assuming you've not been in anything quite like this either.
No, I've never been in a match like this. So as far as preparing, you know, I do what I always do. And Red Daniels is not the first young punk kid to try to make a name off me. And 16 years later, I'm still here.
And that's another good point to bring up, because you did mention, you know, 16 years in the ring. He's been, just over 16 months, basically. this is going to be a fight, though. It's not going to be a typical wrestling match. And I think if you two were going one-on-one in an actual wrestling contest, I'd give the advantage to you. But with him being so unpredictable, you know, willing to even pull his own girlfriend into a match and be struck by you even by accident, it is clear that Red Daniels doesn't play by the rules and doesn't care who he hurts to make a name for himself. So does that in any way weigh on you or concern you?
You know, on December 9th, I'm not going to play by the rules either, because there are no rules.
That's an excellent point. Yes, Buried Alive. You know, things will escalate quickly. I am sure the fans are in for an outstanding a match that night. Now, you know, as I mentioned before, with Red, he has been, you know, kind of in and out of the Stride ring as a rookie, growing and coming up through the ranks, winning that tag team championship, which I think in some case gave him a little bit of an ego boost. Now, you've not held any championship gold in Stride Pro Wrestling, but obviously you have in other companies, most recently, of course, being the SICW heavyweight champion up in the East Carondelet, Illinois area. Does it bother you at all that you've not had that taste of gold in Stride, or what motivates you to continue on? Because you've had some outstanding matches and some great competition here within the company.
I mean, with this whole Red Daniels thing going on, I kind of lost sight of the championship picture. But once this is over, my one goal is going to be a championship in Stride Pro Wrestling.
Now, do you ever have you speculated on what would be next if for some reason you're the one who ends up being buried alive? I mean, Red has talked very confidently that he is going to be the one that buries you. But I did ask him about, is he worried? And he said the thought has crossed his mind that, you know, he could end up on the losing end, but he is remaining pretty confident and pretty vigilant that he is going to take you out, because he also is looking for that respect and that one-on-one championship opportunity.
I mean, the thought always crosses your mind that you could be on the losing end, but I don't see that happening on the ninth. He's going to have to kill me to beat me.
Yeah, and that's kind of the MO for all of this. I mean, it is, as I mentioned earlier in this podcast with Red, the area is set up. There is a tombstone there. It has your name on it. It has Red Daniels' name on it. That visual alone, I would imagine, does it play any kind of mind game with you? I mean, when you see your name on that tombstone and the reality of the fact that one of you is going to end up in this hole, and covered in dirt and debris and whatever else can be tossed into that hole, does that concern you at all?
I mean, it is a little creepy, but I have no intentions on getting buried on December 9th. Now, it is a little creepy to think about.
Yeah, it really is. Now, have you done anything differently to prepare for this match that you maybe haven't done before? Because you are such a talented wrestler, and I've seen you go in there with Roger Mathis, and I've seen you in there with Axe Allwart and some of those other guys who are more of the brawling style as well. So you can obviously adjust and adapt, I think. Is there any kind of different thing, though, that you are doing to prepare for Red?
Actually, you know, I have before I even started professional wrestling, I was doing stand-up tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of went back to those roots, working on my striking the past couple of weeks, and you're going to see a lot of that on December 9th.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about that in the most recent Fun Fact Friday blog that featured you. Talk to me a little bit about that time when you were doing more of the martial arts kind of thing, and how did that – I'm guessing that was kind of before you really got involved in wrestling. How was that transition for you, and how has that helped you as a professional wrestler?
Okay, I got into – actually, judo was the first art I got into, and that was when I was done playing college basketball, looking for something to do other than, like, rec league basketball or whatever. And then, you know, started doing the judos, a lot of throws and stuff, which you see now in some of my matches.
Mm-hmm.
And that led – want to do some stand-up stuff, you know, it's as things go, I ended up getting involved with tournaments and blah, 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 the rest is history, so, which kind of led me into the pro wrestling, which I always wanted to do, So I finally figured, you know, so I was in several tournaments, won several of them, and I was like, you know what, it's time to do the wrestling thing.
And as you mentioned, 16 years later, you are still going at it, and you do a lot of traveling as well. Does that – I know the obvious physical toll in the ring kind of adds up from time to time with injuries and whatnot. Does being on the road and, you know, you travel all over the country with wrestling, does that ever kind of come into your mind too when you're taking those long 400, 500-mile road trips?
Oh, yeah, that's the worst part, is being in the car that long. I think that's worse than taking the bump, to say the truth.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's part of the gig. Comes with the territory.
And why is that? Like, I know why it comes with the territory, but what drives a person like yourself? And, you know, you mentioned it earlier, college basketball, doing the stand-up tournaments and whatnot. So you obviously have that athletic background, but what keeps you going and keeps you motivated to continue following this dream and this passion of being a professional wrestler?
I think you just said it. That's the key word, is like just the dream and the passion. If you don't have that, you don't even need to be doing it. And it's anything that you do, not just wrestling, whatever you're, all the stuff that you do, you have the passion for it, and that's what keeps you going.
Very well said. What advice would you give? Because I know Red does do some work with some of the younger guys that are kind of coming through the Stride School now. What advice do you have to young men and women who want to follow their dream and follow their passion and get involved in independent wrestling or into professional wrestling?
The most important thing is you got to take care of your body, your nutrition, weight training, all that stuff. That's number one, because if you don't have your body, then you have no career, in the ring at least. And then you got to find a trustworthy place or person to train you. Those are the two most important things.
Yeah, and you obviously clearly have that down. You know, 16 years later, you are still in there and preparing again. We can't emphasize this enough. The fight for your life, probably, and I know for Red, this is going to be the biggest match of his career. Where do you rank this opportunity and this matchup in terms of what you have done so far? Because you have had such a storied career 16 years later.
I mean, this is right up there with the championships and everything else. It's the first time I'm going to compete in a Buried Alive match, so it's right at the top of the list with some of the other ones. This is going to be something. It's going to be unique. So hopefully all the fans in the Southern Illinois area are there. Don't miss this one.
Yeah, again, folks, you can head to the Stride Pro Wrestling Facebook page, check it out, and learn more about ticket information. Chris, as we start to kind of wrap things up, anything else you want to say about Saturday night, December 9th? It's just as we record this, you're a week out from you know, this huge opportunity within Stride Pro Wrestling, and no telling where it's going to take you next, because if you win, as you mentioned, you want that title opportunity, and I would think that General Manager Sam Hunter is going to be watching this very closely, because after the fight that the two of you put yourselves through, someone's going to come out of there, hopefully, with the recognition from Stride Management.
I would think the winner of this match would be entitled to a championship match sooner than later. I mean, something this big, I think the winner, whether it be me or Red, if he does happen to beat me, he would deserve a championship match, I would think.
Absolutely, absolutely. Anything else you want to get out there to fans that or anyone else in general about Buried Alive coming up again Saturday night?
I'm just saying, December 9th, it's going to be a show that they do not want to miss. So, Southern Illinois, if you're listening, do not miss Stride Pro Wrestling December 9th, Buried Alive. If you're going to see something you might not see for a long time again, I can guarantee that.
Yeah, we have no idea what kind of implications this is going to have on the roster. I think it will impact even those watching from backstage and, of course, at the Stride building at the Illinois Star Center Mall in Marion, Illinois. Chris, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time here to talk about Buried Alive and share some more insight on you and your career with our listeners.
Well, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure, Kevin.
Absolutely. Fans, again, join us Saturday night, December 9th at the Illinois Star Center Mall in Marion, Illinois, and have a great week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.